Hello, everyone. Welcome to Financeology 101. Class is now in session. The information provided during this podcast is just that, information. You will need to do further research to address your specific situation. Enjoy the session.
Welcome, everyone, to another session of Gifted Generations Presents Financeology 101. I'm your host, Robin Seegers, and the other host is my husband, Elroy Seegers, who's trying to get connected. We're having some technical difficulties tonight. So, everyone's trying to get connected. Our new soundboard didn't want to work right tonight. So tonight we're going to be talking about, are you financially healthy? Time for a checkup. This time of the year, everyone is looking at their finances. Well, they should be anyway, to begin another year. Seeing where they are. And this is the right time to do it, to see how healthy your finances are. I know that sounds strange, but it is a thing, making sure that you're in a good space with your finances, just like you go get a physical once a year. You should be getting a checkup with your finances, I would say once a month. I would not go. Yes, speak a little louder. I would not go too long between checking the status of your finances. So I would say once a month, check your finances and see where you are. Just like the doctor gives you a plan for your health for the year, you should have a plan for your finances. So, Elroy? Hello. So as soon as Tina can get on, as soon as Tina can get on, she can tell us what her clients, what she does with her clients, as far as once she meet with them to go over there. Their finances, some of the things she discussed with them and the things that they should be looking at. You definitely should be looking at the money that's going out and seeing where you're wasting money and then looking at the money that's coming in.
Yeah. So the biggest thing is you know, what you and I always talked about, just sitting down and coming up with a plan, you know, especially beginning of the year, you want to be able to look at everything you got going out, everything you got coming in. And if you're doing it by yourself and then you got a partner and then they don't agree with you, that's going to become an issue. So you definitely want to say, you know, one person may have a plan, but then you got to present that plan to the person. So it's kind of like a check and balances. You want to see, you know, where we are right now. It's a lot of people out there that don't even have, you know, a lot of people use their company's life insurance and they don't have their own life insurance. And that's something that people need to also think about. Another thing you want to think about is retirement plan. A lot of times when you're a couple, what happens is they invest heavily in one person and not the other. Each person in the household should have their own retirement plan because, you know, God forbid you split up and you go your own separate ways and anything like that, divorce, separation. But you always want to have your own plan. Be it with a company or be outside a company where you can invest in your own retirement, because two incomes for retirement is better than one income for retirement. But you always want to make sure you're matching it also. If your company allows you to have a match, that you're doing the matching with your company, because that is very important. So what Tina's going to probably tell you, I know her and I talked a lot about, is just be able just to sit down and analyze what you have on the table. It's very, very important that you don't forget anything. The people I'm working with right now, they people tend to forget the small things. What I mean by the small thing, they forget. They may have a dog to pay for, you know, medical bills for the dog. That's a situation. And then there's you got the dog got to eat too. You know, one thing I always do when I start with a new client is like, I take the first 30 days of all the receipts, not the old ones, but anything new. And what Reen and Robin always teach us, you know, just go ahead and just live like you normally live. Don't try to cut no corners, because you want a true picture of what, how you live in, and making a proper assessment. This way, when we sit down and look at each receipt, we can put it in categories. And it's going to give you a true picture. I remember back in the days, me and Robin used to, we started keeping receipts. Remember that, Robin? Mm-hmm. And we look down, and you look down, you're like, man, we got a lot of receipts from Food Lion. So we would spend, you know, $300 for groceries, but then we would spend another $150 in the next 2 weeks going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So we had to come up with a plan where we didn't always go back and forth to Food Lion, spend extra money, and still spending $300 every 2 weeks on food. So we came with a plan. We said, okay, we're going to spend this much for food, but on the off week, we're going to replenish things by having a set amount. So it may be $300 every 2 weeks, but in the off week, we would spend like $50 where we keep in the house, somewhere like that, or we know there's going to be money set aside just to go back to Food Lion or Walmart, any of those places just we can replenish what we may have used up, like water or napkins, you know, so some of the small things. And then we kept the big things for the major bill, you know, like the meats and stuff like that and vegetables. But the small things, bread, milk, those things we had enough money to put in on the off weeks. Let me see, what else did we do besides that, you know, that you can remember that was very helpful?
Well, we kept the receipts so we could see where we spent, and we worked it as a team.
Yeah.
For those couples out there,
kids,
you have to work it as a team. It can't
kids.
Be your plan and my plan.
Kids too.
Why you keep saying kids?
Oh, I'm just thinking about, you know, how much when you have kids, sometimes, you know, chores and stuff, giving kids a little pocket money for chores. I'm sorry, go ahead, I didn't mean to cut you off.
So what I was saying is, as husband and wife or boyfriend, girlfriend, however you want to put it, you have to work it together, because when you're living together, the finances should be together, and you come to it together and come to, on one accord to how you want to spend, on what you want to save, and how things are to be supposed to be divvied up. So you have to work with your partner. I've seen couples that where they work separate, and it's my money and your money.
Yep.
You pay this and I pay that. And then what I have left, I can do what I want to do with it, and what you have left, you. And so they look back and they had no savings. They had no retirement. They had no financial future, because it was every man for himself.
Yep.
And they thought they were doing well by doing this, but they weren't.
Yep.
Tears
the family apart.
It does tear the family apart. And say your spouse lose their job, then all the bills that they had now falls on you.
Yep.
And now if y'all worked it together, y'all could figure it out together.
Yeah, I like that.
So just remember that you have to work together. This is the time of year you should be sitting down with your significant other and figuring out a plan together about your financial future for 2023.
One of the biggest things, you're going to always have somebody that's good with finances. And you got somebody just like, you know, just good with like either spending the money or just like give me a lot of it. In some cases, you have two headstrong people that are both good with finances. What I mean by that, you may say, hey, you know, marriage is when they first start off. It's two independent people, right? I have my own household, my own bills, and she may have her own household and home bills. So when you come together, you got to come together as a unit. Actually, before you get married, sit down, come with a plan to see how things are going to be paid for. So you, in a sense, Rob, you may say, hey, I'm so used to paying my own bills. I'm saying the exact same thing. So you got to come up with a plan. Well, who's going to do the bills? I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It depends on how people do. I've seen some people say, well, you take care of these bills and I take care of those. In our household, I'm just telling how we do it. We bought the income under one umbrella, under one account, and we pay for the bills from one account. And then from there, we allot money for Robin and money for myself. And then we give the kids their money for chores or for school. That way we can see everything where it's happening versus, you know, Robin having an account, money coming in, I'm having an account, money coming in, and then you're trying to save together. It's just, to me, it's harder when you can't see where everything is going as a unit because you are one. But I know some people, they do quite well just keeping everything separate. You know, hey, I'm paying for this bill, you paying for this bill, and you give away $500 of money for savings, I'm gonna give $500 for savings, and that's $1,000 a month, and that works. So it really depends on what works for each individual. I'm just saying in our household, it works great for us when we combine everything together and we live from that one pot. That we have though that 3 to 6 months savings. We have the travel fund, we have the emergency fund, we have the general savings fund. You know, we can see how everything is distributed from one account. And then from there we can say, well, we have, I'm not gonna say leftover money because there's no such thing as leftover money. Every dollar is assigned. We assign that money to an account that is utilized. So you're probably saying, what do you mean every dollar is accounted for? This is what I mean. If you get $1,000, I had this happen not too long ago. Somebody actually said, oh, I got extra money. And I said, there's no such thing as extra money. Every dollar that you receive, whether it's your check, whether you do a side job, or you get a gift from somebody, that money has to be assigned to something. It can be assigned to a travel club money. You can say, oh, I got a gift from my birthday money. I got $350 from my family. That money can go to a 529 plan. That money can go, you know, towards, you know, tithing and offering. That money can go towards vacation. It can go towards shopping. You're going to sign to something. So that way, when it's all done and said for, the money you just got, it's all put in a pool or a pot to go to something. So that's one thing I would tell people. When you get money, there is no such thing as extra or free money. even someone gave it to you, you want to take that money and assign it to you. This is the time of year taxes. People do taxes. And this is the time of year that I see a lot of people mismanage money. They may get anywhere from breaking even to tens to thousands of dollars back. And they'll take that money and they just go crazy because they, in my estimation, they're just not used to having it, a large sums of money and knowing, having a plan in place. They'll get it and they just go crazy. You got to have a plan in place before you get that money. Well before you get that money. You can't say, I'm gonna get the money and then like I'm gonna do what I feel is best. If you really think about it, this is the same mentality you see with a lot of NBA players, a lot of basketball players and football players. They go broke after a few years. What would you say the other day? Lottery winners.
Yes, lottery.
They get
winners.
They're so not used to having money. When they get it, they have plenty of shows. You know, from broke to rich to from rich back to broke. There are lottery winners. They don't know what to do with that money. They advise you to hire X, Y, and Z, an accountant, a lawyer, and then they get taken advantage of. So you got to watch your circle also. So you got to be wise with your money. One thing that Robin and I always do, we have a plan before we get money. We say, okay, here's what we got right now going on in our household. No, this is where the check is going. If we come into some money, be it a bonus check, whatever, this is what we're going to do with it. So when it comes in, we know exactly where it needs to go. Not like, oh, guess what? I got $1,000 extra this week. What you want to do with it?
We're going to Disney World.
We just won the Super Bowl, Robin. Where you want to go? It's like you got that. That's imperative. So I always tell people, have a plan. It does not mean that plan is going to work. It does not mean it's going to fail. It just basically means saying you have put something together that you and your spouse, or you and your accountability partner, or you by yourself, have something that you can at least move towards to see if not if it's going to work. And even if things don't work, you still can alter that plan. Put it on paper, write it down, make it plain. And I can guarantee you from that, you will see so much growth in not only in your finances, but also in other phases of your life as far as just planning, period. Because planning finances rolls over to planning other things. How to plan trips. I'm talking too much, babe. Oh, okay. I thought she was talking too much. Planning trips and just knowing how to do things on a schedule. I know for me and my wife, we are very schedule oriented, you know, when it comes to our paychecks or even the kids, when we're raising the kids, even on the jobs, we just very regimented. And when things don't go our way, does that mean we get crazy? We just adjust, we pivot, make adjustments. I'm trying to think of what was a situation where we needed an emergency fund. Remember the time we had an issue? We went down to Florida, and the car went bad. The brakes went bad, and we had a whole weekend plan, and we had to put our car in the shop in Florida. We had just gotten about a day and a half. The brakes went totally out, so we had to take the car over to the dealership, and then we had to rent a car. So you can imagine going on vacation, and then your car just stops working. We didn't know the cost of the car. We didn't know how long it was going to keep it. Only we know that we needed to rent a car, and we still was going to continue our plans. So did that alter our plans? No. It just means that we had to take some of the money that we had to put towards the rental car, because we didn't want to like use on the credit card. We just said, okay, how much do we have for this car? Let's just scale down some of our other spending habits so that we don't have to dig into the credit card to pay for things. So in a sense, we kind of like paying for it outside the emergency budget rather than having emergency budget and then using it all up. Well, we was fortunate enough that when we got the car back, they end up fixing the car for free, paying for the rental car, right? And then I don't think they gave us any money back. I just think they just paid for everything, and we didn't pay for anything when it comes to the car. But you never know what's going to happen when you're on travel, when you're in the house. You could get laid off. You could lose your job completely, not just lay off. You could, you know, we have furloughs and stuff like that. So your finances can be influenced. Can I tell them a story?
Another thing is that we tend to think ignorance is bliss. That right. We don't know, we good.
Right.
That's the same mentality we have when it comes to our health. You know something's not right, but long as I don't go to the doctor, I'm all good. And it's the same thing with your finances. You know something's not right. But instead of taking the time to sit down and look at it and go to someone to advise you, you just keep going and spending and spending until you basically crash.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to figure out a way to dig yourself out a hole that you could have prevented if you just stopped.
Yeah.
A lot of us don't want to know the truth.
Yeah.
We need to know the truth, but a lot of us don't want to know the truth. So we just continue on business as usual, shopping, having a good time, knowing your finances is jacked up. You have to, before you hit rock bottom, you have to stop and sit down and take a self-assessment of where you are with your finances. Find somebody that you see doing well, and if they're somebody you can trust and be vulnerable with, talk to them and get them to advise you or help you or encourage you to do well with your finances. Some people can do it alone, but a lot of people need an accountability partner, someone to keep them encouraged, someone to check on them, someone to sow into them and give them the information that they need to move forward, because it can be done.
And the biggest thing is, like, if you in a relationship, you might need a third party to sit down with that can be like the mediator of your situation, because if you two are not seeing eye to eye, you might need to have somebody just to have a third party just to say, you know, how are you seeing these things? Somebody that's financially, you know, savvy. That, you know, if you can't pay for one, you may know somebody that can give you some sound advice. You know, that's pretty good with finances. You know, that's something that me and Robin do. So, you know, you might want to do it one way, or she may want to do it the other way, and you just can't come to terms. So you're bumping heads, which is going to cause a lot of friction. And then next you know, you spending money, he or she spending money, and then you're just going backwards. So a lot of times you may have to go to a financial advisor, somebody that can help you put things back in alignment and give you a plan, and you can march the beat of that plan, because we don't always know what's best. We think we know what's best until somebody tells you, like, wow, I didn't think of that. Oh, I didn't know that. Because they're paid to do these kind of things. They are well-versed in these kind of things. They legally know these things from state to state. You know, just, you know, it's very helpful to have that third party if you can afford it. You know, if you can't, then I can understand. You may want to find a different avenue. Somebody that you trust that can mediate your finances for you, which is going to be very difficult because a lot of people don't do it for free. Everybody wants to get paid for these kind of things. So I would definitely say that.
But it's important also to make sure you and your partner, have a partner, are on the same page. Mm-hmm. Because if he's going left or she's going left and you're going right, that's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah. I know you used to always say, I used to come to you and say, hey, baby, what do you think about this decision? You always say, I just want to see our account grow. I'd be like, yeah, but we need to pay off this bill. I want to see our account grow. So I'm like, yeah, if we let it grow, but this is not paid off. So we had to find a balance of getting the account to grow and paying off a bill. So that was a balance in that, because she likes to see the savings grow. I want to see us, you know, have less debt. So it's like, okay, we can pay off this debt and have this account grow. It may not grow as fast as she would like, and it may not shrink as fast as I would like. So it's a balance in that. And understanding, you know, the need. And then a lot of times you got to present to your partner the pros and cons of the way you want to do things, either paying off a bill or, you know, trying to pay off a credit card. It's very helpful when they can see. Now, my wife, she's very visual. I can tell her all day long because I can visualize it in my head. She wants to see it on paper. Show me the number. So I already know if I'm going to talk to her, I got to have it on paper. This amount as to this, I got to show which accounts it goes to so she can see it. And I got to take a few minutes to get quiet, and then she'll let I answer her questions. And then she begins to understand it. And even with that understanding, I don't make no decision right away, because with her, it may take a day or two to soak in. Where I'm like, let's just do it. Let's just get it. Let's just get it. And she's like, well, let me think about it for a little bit. So you got to also understand your partner as far as how you're going to communicate with them, whether you can do it fast or give them some time to let it soak in. I know with Robin, it has to soak in. And with me, I'm like, I see it, let's do it. So she balances me out not making too fast a decision, and I balance her out by not taking too long not to make a decision. So for us, it works. What did you say? Let me see. The last thing I want to say is be kind to one another.
Oh, I do want to say this. It just came back to me. Make sure you enjoy yourself in this process.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing we do. We enjoy ourselves. But when he said it's time to tighten it up, he always say it's time to tighten it up. Yep. And I'm like, okay.
Yep.
And whatever that means we got to cut back on this, that, because there's something a goal we're trying to attain.
Yeah.
So he said, let's tighten it up. Time to shut it down. Okay. Yeah. So we tighten it up and we get it together, and for that period of time until we attain that goal, and then we once we attain that goal, we open back up.
The flood
and it happens when we go on vacation too. He's like, all right, this is the time to get what you're gonna get, and while you're on vacation, because we got the money, you better get what you get, because when we get back home, we shutting everything down.
That's so true.
Because it's time that we got to recover.
Yeah.
Not saying that we financially go broke. No. It's just that.
You can't be in that vacation mode when you get home.
Right. There's a time that we go out and enjoy ourselves, then a time we shut it down.
Yeah.
And you have to be okay with both.
Yeah.
You can't be mad when it's shut down. Because when he say shut it down, I don't get mad. I'd be like, okay. What we need to do, and he say, okay, we need to do A, B, C, and D. Okay, got it. And I'm with the plan, because he comes up, because he's creative and thinking that way. So he comes up with the plans. He run it by me. I'm like, okay, we can do that. And I jump right on the plan. I do not argue with him. I do not, well, I wanted it. I wanted it. Nope. Mm-hmm. I jump right on the plan, because I know for a fact that the plan will work and we'll achieve the goal, and then we can reward ourselves afterwards. So I'm not the type of person that I need it right now. No, I want need it right now. So that works for me. So you got to find that balance that works for you.
Yeah.
So that's why I say you both got to work at it together. You cannot do it apart from each other. It's not going to work. It's just not. That road to success is together.
Yep.
When you go left and he go right, you in trouble.
Yeah. You want to tell me that time when you was doing the checkbook and you were trying to save money and you
Oh,
couldn't.
okay. So when we first got married, I'm gonna try to make it short. When we first got married, we didn't make a lot. So there was no saving and no investing and all of that. We made just enough to take care of ourselves and our son at the time, it was one. And then as time went on and we got older, we started making the money. However, I was doing the bills because what came in went out because there was nothing to save. But as we got older, we started making more money. And so, but I kept doing it the way I did it. The bill came in, I paid it. But I kept wondering why we don't have any money, why are we always short. I'm like, what in the world? I know we're making the money. It wasn't because we didn't have the money, it was the way I was paying the bills. And because we didn't have the money before, I was just doing business as usual. And so I would be stressed out all the time trying to make sure our bills are paid. And I'm trying to figure out, we got this money. I know we're making more than enough money. Where's it going? And I'm not a shopper. I'm not a shopper.
I'm
And
the shopper.
so I knew it wasn't being spent frivolously. But what it was how we were using paying the bills. So finally he said, okay, I'll take it over. And as soon as he took it over, he did the assessment. We continued to spend for 30 days, and then we sat down and looked at where we were spending. And then we came up with a plan, his infamous spreadsheet. Now we've been living off this spreadsheet for
10,
10,
I don't
no more than that.
know. Yeah, I did the book. Yeah, you're right. This layman said on 10 years. You're
As
right.
like no we about 20
20 years,
years
you're right. Yeah.
it's been about 20 years he developed this spreadsheet, and it has different generations because he keep advancing it that we lived off of. So he created the spreadsheet. I'm telling you, from I remember it was in we was moving into the house in May 1 year. So January of that same year, he said, okay, this is what we're going to do. And he gave the plan. Do y'all know from January to June 1st, because we moved there Memorial Day weekend, we had saved $12,000 in 6 months. Now we went from living paycheck to paycheck because of the way I was paying the bills, not because the money we were making. We had the money, but I just didn't have a plan for paying it. So it seemed like we were broke all the time, but we weren't. So that's why I was so confused. So when he took it over and he built that spreadsheet, I'm telling you, from January to June 1st, we amassed $12,000. And I'm like, hold up, where was this money all along? And he started showing me. Of course, my eyes glazed over because the spreadsheet got kind of technical and difficult.
And I said, oh Lord,
And
spreadsheet.
I'm like, okay, let me just listen to him because I have no idea what he's saying. Because that this is his area. This is his gift. And so that infamous spreadsheet has
Still
kept
exists.
us going till this day.
I use that. I built different ones. I did done a weekly spreadsheet, even though we don't get paid. Yeah, we got paid weekly
Yeah,
for a
we
little
got
bit.
paid
Yep.
weekly back
She got
then.
paid 1 week and I got paid the following week. So we was getting paid every week. And we thought we were rich. Couldn't wait for Friday to come. We got paid every Friday. I'm trying to tell you, that was not good. I was like, where are we going shopping? But it was just, then we went from bi-monthly, weekly, and then bi-weekly. So we had all the different kinds. So I'd build different spreadsheets for different situations. And I still have those spreadsheets. Amazing. I have those spreadsheets. And believe it or not, I reflect back on those things. One thing I always tell people, do a journal. Do a journal when you're feeling good. Do a journal when you're feeling bad. Because I want you a year from now to reflect back on that journal and say, January 15th, February 18th, I was here. Now I'm here. And it gives you a sense of pride, a sense of accomplishments. Because when you put a plan in place, more than likely, if you stick to it, it's going to work. But can you just think about, when you go back and look at an old journal, you're like, wow. So especially is one thing, but to see how you felt at that moment. And I tell people, journal when you're feeling good, when something great comes in, and journal when you think, but something is not so great. Do both, because you got to be able to express yourself. Because you get those people called, what's called therapy shopping? What's it called? Retail therapy. That's it. That, ooh boy, can get you in a lot of trouble. So we had to build a budget around somebody with retail therapy. We had to. Why? Because, yeah, that's it. Retail therapy. Mm-hmm. And it actually worked. So here's what happened was, we saved, I think it was $100 our paycheck. And we just set it aside. Something happened to the young lady. I said, hey, go get your retail therapy savings and spend that. And she had about $1,400 in retail therapy. You know, she said, I ain't spending that. That's crazy. So then she realized, oh my gosh, I spend that much on retail therapy. And guess what? Now she don't do retail therapy. She does retail savings. And she take that money she would have spent and puts it down on something and save it for a trip or something else. So you can change your habits, but a lot of times you have to realize your habits before you can change them. It's recognition of what you've done and what you want to do. But if there's no one to tell you those things, it's going to be even harder. So when you start doing the small things and somebody putting those things out, you're like, wow, I was doing that? Like, yep. Like, okay. The same thing I was saying earlier about the receipts going to the grocery store and too much. We both said, wow, we were doing that. And then we scale back. Now we don't do that anymore. We just go. We have money. We go. But it comes from one pool. It doesn't come from surprises of going to the store for frequent visits and stuff. Same thing for restaurants. You restaurant allotment, you know, I used to have a dry cleaning allotment. What COVID means, what? You don't need a dry cleaning allotment because I'm not really dry cleaning clothes. And I am now a little bit, though. So that was we had an allotment for that. So you got to build an allotment for everything. So it's not surprises when you're doing things. You know, a lot of times people put a pool of money together. I'm going to put $300 for everything. Okay, everything means shopping. It means restaurants. It means this. And if it doesn't work, then you want to change your plan. But I always tell people, save those receipts. Because that's going to really tell you the true story of how you're spending money.
Yep, always ask for your receipt and then put it in a shoebox or something.
Yep.
And then sit down at the end of the month and see where you categorize your stuff. And see where you, and you will be shocked and amazed how often you swipe that card. And, you know, now the funny thing is now we go to the store in between grocery, like he said, with cash.
Yeah.
Before I was going with the debit card, so I would get little extra, you know, stuff that I wasn't even supposed to get or wasn't. But now sure. I got to go in there like I got to get exactly because I only brought $25.
Yeah.
I got to get exactly what I need because I cannot go over $25.
Yeah.
And it works because now I'm not buying a bunch of nonsense. Now I'm not adding, you know, stuff that we shouldn't even be eating in the first place. I'm going to get exactly what I want or what we need. And I'm coming home. I ain't walking around the store because ain't no sense because I only had $25.
And it does work. It can be painful because what I mean by painful because of the adjustment doing those things. But those things, they work. Yeah, they work greatly. You'd be amazed how something small, it's kind of like a diet. Yeah, I would say, hey, you know, a diet, they tell you remove one thing at a time and you see yourself change. Like, you know, if you're used to drinking sodas, right? And you remove that soda, all that sugar, and now you're going to start seeing drinking water in this place. You're going to start seeing some weight fall off. Same thing with budgeting. If you do a drastic change all at one time, you're going to just drown yourself. You put things down and you move towards a goal. What I typically do is I always start off with what you're doing right now. I leave it the same the first month. The next month, I trim it down. Okay, last month we spent $400 in shopping. How about we spend $300 this month? Okay. Now put that $100 you was gonna spend on shopping, put that extra $100, put it into another budget called travel. Cool. Now you got $100 in travel. Next month, okay, let's trim it down another $50. Put that $50 in travel. Now what you're doing, so the person's saying, wait a minute, I got $150 in travel. I need to put more in travel. Okay, you wanna do more in travel, then you start needs to do that shopping. Okay, so now the shopping bill is down to like $150 and the travel bill is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So now you're self-motivating yourself to make changes. Those overnight changes, they may work for a little bit, but just like diets, you got to be able to maintain. That's why we don't like doing diets. We do a lifestyle change. Budgeting is the exact same thing. It's a lifestyle change. don't really like using the word budget, but it's for the lack of people use that word so much, so we just use budgeting. But you really want to do a lifestyle change. When you do that lifestyle change, and you can maintain it, it is so easy. Me and Robin, we had this lifestyle change for years. One thing I always do when I get a little extra money from work, I always give my wife some. When the boys are here, I give them some. I give myself a little bit of some, and I put the other half away. You know, so we spend a little bit, we enjoy a little bit, and we save a little bit. I don't like say, oh, we got, let's say $1,000. We're going to save $1,000. Like, what fun is that if you're doing that? This is just me, y'all. I put $500 in the account, and then I give myself some, my wife some, and then my kids some. And we go enjoy ourselves, go out to eat. But I save some. You know, so did I assign that money? Yeah, I assigned that money. I assigned my wife some, I assigned myself some, and I assigned some to our account. You know, it's just good to have a plan, you know, when you do those things. And I love rewarding my wife and kids when we get something, because Robin works hard on these. You can see on this podcast, I kind of screwed this thing up and I don't know what I did. I think it was the board. But Robin does all the sound stuff. She does all the posting. She does all the images, and she does all the phone set up for people when we got new people online. You saw we had technical problems tonight. I'm on one end, she on the other end, but Robin figured it out. She is my IT department. She is my HR. You everything, girl. You everything. I'm gonna give you some ice cream tonight. You deserve some ice cream. So that's really, to sum it all up, that's really in a nutshell, the big nutshell. But I do want to thank you for being patient tonight for the difficulties. I think I know what the problem was. I needed to shut the computer down. On, like you said, I accepted the word MacBook on it. I should have said no, but it was no other option. When I unplugged and plugged it back in, it came up, so which was really weird. By that time, it was done for. So thank you for
bandwidth us. Yeah. Well, technical difficulties, and we missed out on Miss Tina, but we'll catch her the next time. And this topic, what I'll do is have her spend a few minutes on this, and then we'll spend a few minutes on a new topic.
Yep.
That way we can get her input on this as well. But Tina Smith is our financial guru that
she's great.
We work with her.
They use it before.
She gets on and helps us talk to people about finances, because she's an amazing woman. She's a broker, investment broker. She worked with professional athlete, the pros. She wrote a book. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has her own business and finances. So I'm sorry it didn't work out with her tonight.
Yeah, the
next session we have with her, what I'll do is have her talk about this in the beginning, and then we'll segue into the new topic so that people can hear from her, because she is definitely excellent.
Yeah, I know you have some questions for her, Miranda. Sorry you didn't get a chance to ask her those questions, but hopefully, next month we're going to have these kind of problems because we know what happened. You may can get back on live again and ask us those questions. Or if you want to, you can post your questions here. We can take those questions, and then we can ask her on our next live show, and then post the answers too. So that's another way too, because she, as you know, you guys use her before. She's not free, but she does this for with us for free, and she gives out a host of information that she normally charges for. So this is a great avenue for people to ask questions and stuff. I talked to my wife today about us trying to do something else, you know, with the dial-in portion. To let people dial in, so we got to be very, very careful who we let dial in, because you know we don't want Uncle Ed to get on here acting all crazy and drunk, saying things he shouldn't be saying. So we are trying to address how we. There's a way to dial in. You know, you can easily dial in. It's making sure that we screen those kind of calls before people get on here acting all crazy, and we got to make this an explicit conversation, which we're trying to keep it, you know, PG-13, so a family-oriented show that anybody can have access to. But that's something that we're trying to move to also, because interaction is good, especially when you got Tina on the phone. It'd be nice to have you interact with her, or somebody interact with her, have a conversation with her, and let the audience hear that kind of conversation also. So that's on the platform, on a new level of things. We'll see how that works out. So, Rob, you want to give them our podcast information? All right, she's handing me the paper, y'all. So, you know what the podcast is. It's giftedgeneration-llc.com/podcast. Our Facebook page is Gifted Gen LLC. Instagram is gift.gen. And then on YouTube is YouTube at Gifted Generations LLC. And then we're also on Spotify and Google Podcasts. You can find us. And also iHeartRadio. You can find us on Financeology 101. So we also have a website for Gifted Generations. Giftedgenerations-llc.com. Don't forget that dash because I don't know where you end up. So check us out. We got some exciting things coming up in the next few days to weeks, hopefully, a big announcement. And then from there, we're going to be trying to launch some other things that we have on the platform too. But once again, thank you for bearing with us. And we hope to have those problems resolved for next time. You learn and you grow. That's all I can say. You learn and you grow.
Yep, because this is live. And
yep.
We can help that. Thanks, everyone. Thank you so much. And
right.
Thanks for being patient. Have a good night.
Well, thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Financeology 101. I hope you enjoyed this session and the information provided will assist you on your financial journey. Until next time, be financially engaged.